Let's open our Bibles today to Luke 17:11. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know. Margaret, thank you for always laughing at my jokes. I love her. Even if I say them 15 times, she'll laugh at them. It's a good feeling, you know. Praise the Lord. Luke 17:11. Title of the message is, Where Are the Nine? Where are the nine? And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now this is a very familiar story to us. And once again, we see that just like in many places, we see in the Gospels, Jesus is healing, he's curing, he's cleansing, he's doing all these things. But this story is a little bit different. And we won't want to miss the profound lessons that are found in this particular story, because they can actually be life-changing. So we want to look at everything that's woven into this story. Now, unlike the other stories here, Jesus' miracles, the focus on this story is not on the healing itself, but it's on what happens before and after the miraculous healing. So it's all about the whole picture here. What's going on here? Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he's walking along the border of Samaria and Galilee, and these 10 lepers approach him. Now, leprosy is a horrendous disease, as you know. It's a horrible illness. It affects the skin, the eyes, the nose, peripheral nerves. It's highly contagious, and those who were diagnosed with leprosy were quarantined, and they're isolated from the rest of the people. Back then, they just didn't have any cure for it. And so in the Jewish law, if you were a leper, you had to shout out, unclean, unclean, if someone approached you. How many of y'all knew that? Yeah, okay. So at the time of Jesus, there was no cure, and so people with leprosy were left. They had no hope. But Jesus, amen. So Jesus, he saw and he heard the lepers crying out here, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they're out here, they're walking, and he says this to them. He says that he's moved with compassion. That's important to note. Yeah. He's moved with compassion. And he responds, go show yourself to the priest. And so I want you to take notice now. He didn't say, be cured, be cleansed, be healed. Now go show yourself. All he said was, go show yourself to the priest. Okay? So he gave them a command. And so it didn't say he healed them and sent them on their way. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And so they started walking. And interesting enough, when they start walking, they're healed. Yes. Amen. So it was a test of faith. Amen. And we really don't know what was going on in their minds, and we don't know whether healing happened on that first step or three steps. But the one thing we do know that happened is it had to happen pretty fast, because one of them turned around and came running to him knowing he was healed. One of them did. So praise the Lord for that. So he fell at Jesus' feet and he was thanking him. Now, interesting enough, the one that comes running back to him is a Samaritan. Now, the Jews hated the Samaritans. Y'all know that. They considered them to be half-breeds. And they thought they were very unspiritual. So at this point in the story, Jesus asked a profound question. He says, "We're not all 10 lepers cleansed?" So evidently, we do know every one of them. It wasn't just him. Every leper was cleansed. And so he said, "Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give thanks to God other than this one foreigner?" So there's actually several lessons that we can learn here from this very story. And one of them is that God loves all people. He loves all people. He blesses the messy, the broken, the poor, the disregarded. He doesn't love everyone's behavior. He doesn't love some of the things people are coming up with and the way they're behaving today. But he does love them. And by the way, we're called to love them too. We don't have to accept people's behavior. We don't have to accept their crazy things they believe in. But we do love people. Amen. But God loves all people. And he loves the downcast. He loves the wealthy. And he loves the poor. He loves everyone. He values all of us. So those 10 lepers, you know, they're outcast to society. And then if you add on top of that, that this one is an outcast from being a leper and he's an outcast from being a Samaritan, he's way down low on the totem pole here. Yeah. Totem pole, so to speak. So, but Jesus doesn't see any difference. He's ready. Jesus treasured each one of them, even the Samaritan, and he heard the cry of every person. So any person still living in old religious condemnation, if I go to church, the roof's going to fall in on me, that kind of thing. I don't think God would do anything for me. I'm coming, but I'm really bad. You need to let go of that. God loves you. He loves you. Does he love you just like you are? It doesn't have anything to do with like you are. He just loves you. Does he want you to change? Yes. That's why he brings you word and correction and all these things. But he loves you, period. The second thing is that God honors faith. Those 10 lepers weren't healed until they acted in faith. They had to act in faith. And so they turned ahead to the priest. So, we don't really know there either whether they had a lot of faith, a little faith. They could have just kind of heard about Jesus and said, "Let's give this a shot. We heard that he might be the Messiah. We're hearing about him. And listen, we need help." How many times have you heard stories of people saying, "I didn't know Jesus. I barely knew if there was a God. But man, I called on him and here he came." That's the kind of God we serve. And it takes faith to do that. The littlest cry is faith. You call out to God, it has something to do with faith. Now, in Aramaic, they actually said this, "Jesus, our chief, be nurturing toward us." That's what they were saying. It had that feel to it. There's that parenting thing again. It's a movement. He's flowing. "Help us, Lord. Help us be cleansed." And so, you know, church, we are never... I'm going to say it like this is the best way to say it. God is never going to let us off the hook when it comes to faith. The Bible clearly tells us in Hebrews, is it, that if we're going to please God, we have to have faith. Amen. It's not going to go away. You're not going to go, "Well, we're going to go into the days of miracles, then we won't have to use our faith anymore." Never going to happen. Never going to happen. The just shall always live by faith. You'll come in here and there'll be multi-healings, multi-miracles everywhere, and you walk out and get in your car, and if it won't start, it's going to take some faith. See what I'm saying? We're still living. We have to live. We have to live by faith. We have to live and believe God will do something about that car. Amen. And he will. And so without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? Because he can't please you. He can't reciprocate to you if you don't say, "You're the one. I need you." Amen. So they had enough faith and they just started walking and praised the Lord. So the Bible says God earnestly does what to those who seek him? Rewards. He'll reward you if you seek him. Praise the Lord. God is good. So he rewarded those 10 lepers. So now here's the big one for today. The third thing. God cherishes gratitude. Yes. Only one of the lepers turned back, fell at Jesus' feet, thanked him with a loud voice. There's something I just want you to think about here. Jesus is the Messiah. This is Almighty God right here. He's Almighty God. He's there in the flesh. But listen, Jesus is sensitive. Jesus was sensitive. Jesus is representing the Father, so Father is sensitive. Okay? So, you know, if you're sensitive to the Spirit, that's really a good thing. Sensitive, not touchy.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus wasn't touchy. People can be. And people say, well, they're just sensitive. Well, they're probably touchy. But you can be sensitive to God. You can be sensitive and aware of what's going on. So Jesus was aware when he said, oh, this is interesting. One, only one came back with gratitude. The others kept going. So a touchy person might get offended if you don't thank them for a gift. That's a touchy person. But then a sensitive person might perceive. Now, you have to think about this. Come walk with me on this. A sensitive person might perceive whether gratitude is present or entitlement is present. Okay? You see that? Because, and listen, if you're quick to judge yourself, you're not going to get in trouble with this.
Right.
You just go, okay, and you might pray for that person or whatever. But there is entitlement. There's been a few Christmases in my lifetime where some of the kids showed some real signs of entitlement. They grab the present, they open it up, they throw the paper down, throw the gift over there, and go for the next one. A little bit of lust mixed in with that, right? So, but it felt like entitlement to me. Well, you have to give this to me because I'm a part of this family or whatever they come up with. You owe me this. You know. Well, if you don't correct that child, they're going to grow up to be a victim. They'll grow up to be a victim. So we had to bring correction, and we did. The grandmothers and the parents at our house brought correction to that. Amen. And so, by the way, our grandsons are not victims, and they appreciate everything that's done and don't ask for very much. Although we like to give it. Praise the Lord. So, but you know, entitlement, that's a real issue today, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The propaganda of government overreach.
Yes.
It's helped many people sit back and just expect to be taken care of.
Yes.
Now, there are probably not many people in this room that feel like that. You're way over that. You know God is your source.
Yes.
Yet it is something that started years ago and has been some of the downfall of things that have happened in America. And so, but it's not going to be here.
Right.
I declare the body of Christ are victors.
Amen.
And they don't get into a spirit of entitlement. Well, you owe me. You owe me for that.
No,
it's just not true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Gratitude is so rich. It brings us a level up. Thank you is always appropriate, and it's a wonderful thing. Thank you for that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's always a good thing. And the Apostle Paul alluded to this when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, instructing them to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is that gratitude is at the core of for the disciple. We are supposed to be grateful people.
Right.
Now, you know, you're like, well, is that one of those commands and we just have to do it? Is that legalism? Oh, no, that's not legalism. This is part of your faith walk. This is part of your faith walk. You're connecting back to God. Everything that works in the kingdom works in a circle. He always makes the first move, then you make a move, and then he makes a move. Yeah. That's always how it works. As Brother Hagin used to say, God is pretty much a checker player. He makes a move, you make a move, he makes a move. If you don't make the move, he won't make the next move. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It just kind of drop off right there. So being thankful is a wonderful thing. And, we can learn to be grateful in every situation. Now I said in every situation, not for every situation. God didn't cause all the situations, but in those situations, we can be grateful to him because he'll get us out. There are people who skip totally over that and say, just, you need to be thankful that you're in this situation. No, you can be faithful in it, but not that you're in it. Amen. You see what I'm saying? God is there, but he's getting you out of it. He's getting you in. Well, Lord, we thank you for this trouble. Shut up. That's stupid. Excuse me. I was going to be real professional today. It's all gone. That's just the truth, though. I mean, how silly is that? We have a good God, a good Father. And he's not putting you in the stuff.
Right.
Don't get mad at me. I'm going to tell you, it's your fault you're in it.
Yeah.
And it's the devil. And you can come out as quickly as you went in.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. So we see, he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Play was made, and now he's made whole. You know, I would learn is the word sozo. It's salvation. It's life. That's just not the only day in life where you sit around the table and say what you're, but the truth is there's a lot to be thankful for every day. And church, this is not a weak little simple message. This is powerful. To get into the attitude of gratitude. It'll absolutely change your life. It's a matter of your faith. It's all about your faith. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So the question today then would be, how do we give thanks, and how do we keep an attitude of stuff happens, things come up. What happens? Well, you can be aware of all your blessings if you make a choice to be aware. So today, I thought I would just give you some practical ideas to help you build and strengthen your gratitude muscle. And then this month, a few of the folks are going to say a few things to you, and we're going to keep our attitude of gratitude going. Number one, keep a journal. Keep a journal, keep a blessing journal, and write down three blessings that happen to you every day. Because you're going to find out they did. It really, a journal's pretty good because we tend to forget what people do for us. When you're mad at them, then you forget totally what all they did for you. I just think I'll leave that alone. Praise the Lord. Keep a journal. Number two, develop a daily rhythm of thanking God for his love every morning and his faithfulness every evening. Now, I didn't just make that up. That came out of a scripture. Our early church fathers had rhythms to their days. They had a certain rhythm so that Christ could be in the center of their life, right? So they set up different things. So when you see people pray in certain ways in certain times of day, that's not necessarily religious. That may be the rhythm that they've gotten into in order to flow in the things of God. And so you can develop a morning and evening rhythm of giving thanks so that it becomes a lifelong pattern. The psalmist wrote this. It says, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. That's Psalm 92, 1 and 2. So there, this is absolutely a way to do it, morning and night. So my habit is before I put my feet touch the floor to say something to the Lord, be grateful, and that when I go to bed to thank him. And many, 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 many times I sing him a song. God doesn't care whether you can carry a tune or not, so just to ease your mind, you can do that. And I almost always sing, from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. So, you know, I mean, it's just the song I picked. And then sometimes I sing, How Great Thou Art. Just a little bit of breathe. Thank God you got a blessing job and you've got great clients and you can have a job. Thank God for that. There's things to thank God for. Amen. This will keep you from complaining as well. The next thing, number three, would be set an alarm on your phone. Now, everybody in here has a phone. Yes, you do. Maybe it's a flip phone, but no. No. Most of us all have some kind of smartphone thing. Set an alarm. And it goes off. I know someone that does that. And just set an alarm several times a day. It goes off and you can stop and praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. It doesn't have to be long. You don't have to go into some long Psalm 119 or anything. You could just, Lord, I just want to thank you right now. After a while, you don't even need an alarm. You'll just, you know, praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing a little something. Amen. Also, places in your day when you get in, like you're putting on your makeup, or ladies, and you're brushing your teeth or combing your beard, gentlemen. Thank you, thank you. So, you know, in those places, you can have a moment. There's certain places that you go, like, I don't know, right when I get to the washing machine. Seem like I always have a little song. I don't know why. I just want to sing a little something right then. Just, I don't know. Praise the Lord. Anyway, whatever the Lord leads you to do. But just set an alarm then and just pause and give thanks. You know, we could actually follow the example of the psalmist who praised God seven times a day. Amen. He actually did that. Praise the Lord. Seven times a day, I praise you. Psalm 119, 164. Beautiful pattern. Beautiful pattern. Number four, forgive those who've hurt you. What does forgiveness have to do with gratitude? Well, everything. Because God has forgiven you for all the times you've hurt him. And so out of gratitude for his forgiveness, amen, you forgive those that have hurt you. Gratitude. I mean, think what he's done for you. Church, everything he did was for you. From the time he was born to the time he hung that beautiful head. He did everything for you. When he went to the garden, from then on, the blood coming out, sweating blood, the beatings, all those things, all of that was for you. I'm grateful. And for everything that he did, you received a healing. Amen. The chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus. We can have peace. We don't have to have anxiety. We don't have to have anxiety. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. Jesus did that for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we can forgive others. And you just have to realize, I wonder if we realize the depth of our own sinfulness sometimes. You know, we just can get really selfish sometimes. All of us. There's no one that doesn't. But God's grace just begins to well up in me when I realize how much he has done compared to the way I've behaved sometimes. Amen. And we all have, you know. So thank God for Jesus. Thank God. And we can forgive those, you know. You know, you don't like it when somebody smarts off to you. Do you? You feel like, That's how you have that reaction on the inside. But you've done that. You've smarted off. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Margaret. She confirmed it that all of y'all have. No, I'm just kidding. Ronnie wanted me to preach on that. All have sinned and come short of the glory. Turn or burn. Now, hey, that fits right in. Be grateful you don't have to sit under that every Sunday. You're bad and you know you've been bad. Hey, everybody knows what they've done. They don't need people pointing it all out every minute of the day. Jesus made us free. Jesus loves us. The grace of God has flooded into our lives. And so if he can treat us like that, we can treat others like that. Amen. Number five, listen to some worship music to prompt your thanksgiving. Worship music is a great tool to prompt our praise and our thanksgiving. We can really enjoy some of that. I love I Speak Jesus.
Yeah.
I really love it in Jesse's voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jesse is my psalmist.
Yep.
And helps move me into spiritual things. I love that. You certainly are as well, but it was a long time. But there's just some places people know how to hit some notes. You realize that some notes on the guitar or on anything are more anointed than others. So you can listen to some things, they're just going to take you higher. And it just depends on what you like, what you like to hear, what you like to listen to. Praise the Lord. And so listen to some praise and worship. That'll help you be thankful. And ask the Holy Spirit to stir up gratitude in your heart. Ask him to. Think about what God has done. There's songs about that, you know. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me. Patty, sing it. Go, girl. That's a good song. I just want to shout, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. You're sitting here full of God. Wall to wall, Art. Wall to wall, full of God, right here, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So play some music. You know, the story of the 10 lepers is one of the most profound stories that we find in the gospel. And we can just learn that God values these things. He honors faith. Amen. He values the least. Let me do those in order. He values the least. He honors faith and he cherishes gratitude. All of those things he does. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, as you're seeking him and you want to have gratitude, try some of these things. They're practical. They work. Practical things are good. Keep a blessing journal. Develop morning and evening rhythm to how you give God thanks. Forgive people. Put on some worship music. These are all things that'll stir you up and help you. Just little things. Just put a place in your life that'll change you. Amen. You received the word today? Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you, Lord. And I just want to say right now that I am grateful. I am so grateful. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for it, Lord. You are glorious. You are magnificent. You, all power and glory be given unto you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The word of the Lord just came to me right then. He just said this, it's raining dreams coming true. It's raining dreams come true right now in the room. Take it. Take it right now. It's raining dreams come true right now in the room. Right now, as you're grateful, he's making a move. He's making a move right now. If you take that by faith, God's going to bring your dreams to pass. You have to stop and think about what they are. What are my dreams? What do I want to come to pass? Yeah, there's 7 or 8 people in here right now that just went, I don't know. What are my dreams? Well, it's time to find out.
Yeah.
It's time to start dreaming again. And it's time to dream big. You could, well, you know, we're about to go on the rapture. We'll dream big till it gets here. There's plenty to do. You can accomplish much before that day happens if you believe it's coming soon. Well, I don't know. I'm older now. It doesn't matter how old you are. God can do what he wants to do. Amen. Dream big, church. Dream big. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray for just a minute. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just declare that we will grab hold of gratitude.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As it made me think of the piece of the song, Come On My Soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you get shy on me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've got it in you just to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for taking off all your divineness and coming to earth. All your royalness and coming as a baby. Thank you, Lord, for walking on this earth with men and women. Thank you for teaching and preaching the truth. Thank you for being baptized in the Holy Ghost and showing us what we could do in life when we're people baptized in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for operating in the gifts so you taught us what to do in that area. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for going to the cross for us, Lord. We thank you for everything you did. You took a beating. You were spit on. You were just everything horrible possible was done unto you. We thank you, Lord, that by your wounds we are healed. We thank you for hanging on that cross. We thank you for forgiving every person who crucified you. We thank you, Lord, for taking all of our sins, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you opened the door to heaven for us. We thank you, Lord, then that you resurrected from the dead, showing us that we're going to resurrect. We thank you for life and life more abundant in Jesus' name. We thank you that you released the Holy Ghost into the earth for us. And now we walk with God on the inside of us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.